Wow. So, perplexity. What does that mean, perplexity? What was it? Yeah. Wow, Stephen. That's awesome. Yes. Sometimes, how many knows that you don't know? Of course, for all the smart people in the world, they struggle in that area. Because smart people always want to know. Anybody with me? Hey, listen, if you're already checking out on me, I'm in trouble. Okay, we've been in some powerful worship, but now God's getting ready to download a word that's going to raise you up today. Let me start by this. Listen, and Lakin, I'm not throwing you a curveball, but listen, I sent you some stuff, and I believe eventually, Lord willing, I'll get to that, or Heath, or Mrs. R., Miss Kathy will get to that. But I was going to talk to you today about weddings, but I'm not going to talk to you about a wedding today because I don't think some of you want to go to a wedding today. Weddings are cool, but we don't do them up in this country like they do them in the Holy Land or the era in which Jesus lived. But they are powerful and can be. But I'm going to talk to you about weddings today. I'm going to talk to you about struggle. You know, when we were doing the song about come up out of the grave, you know, I'm coming to, I'm walking out to. Okay, how many remember that part of the song? On that part of the song, you're supposed to reenact that song. You're supposed to demonstrate that with your faith. Sometimes what we think is childlike stuff is really a demonstration of faith. But some of us are too cool to do that. You know, we're too cool. But sometimes you just got to put yourself into the action. You got to put yourself into the position. You got to start moving, as he said. You got to start moving those feet. I know there are people in our area struggle religiously with that because they think, you know, you can't do anything unless a lightning bolt hits you. Once a lightning bolt hits you, then you do what the lightning bolt or what you feel compelled to do. There's no scripture for that. But sometimes by faith, you got to do that. And today, we're here today. People are born out of struggle. How many knows there is struggle in your birth? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me with this group. How many knows that there is struggle in your birth? Yeah. All the men folk here today, you don't know anything about that. But all the women folk, how many know that there's struggle? Anybody identify? Come on, I need some women to help me out here today. But if you're here, you were born out of a struggle. When Ben was born, there was a great struggle between life and death. And when he was born without breath. And they couldn't they didn't think they could resuscitate him. They thought that that life would end right there out of that moment of struggle. But Will did something powerful. Hear me. Hear what I'm saying. This is powerful. Will got up on top of his son or got in proximity of his son. And he spoke the word of God into his life. He spoke out of this Psalm 118 in verse 17. David says, and the Lord said, you shall not die, but live and acquire the works of the Lord. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. God didn't intend for you to die in your struggle. God intended you to overcome your struggle. and be better for it. I promise you, that's not what I even come with today. Is that okay? Okay, and I'm going to respect the time, and I'm aware of it. So we're born out of struggle. We're born into struggle. And throughout our life is a progression through struggle. But God never intended for us to be overcome by our struggle. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Wrap your heart around it. God has this word for you. I want you to do this right now. Say, this is for me. Come on. Use your hands. I'm a school teacher, okay? I'm a school teacher. Pretend you're in my class again. All right. This is for me, Lord. Amen. I like the way that brother's got it right there. This is for me, because God did not design you, even though life is full of struggle, He didn't design you to stay in a struggle. I might be going through a struggle, but I am not going to stay in the struggle, because in that struggle, something amazing is going to be birthed. Something amazing is going to be born out of my struggle. I'm coming out. I don't know about you. Are you coming out? You want to stay there? Stay there. But I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Get a hold of her and say, we're coming out, Char. We're coming out. You've been thinking for months you're going down. No, you're not going down. You're coming up. I'm liable to come around and give you a happy slap. I just come up with a good new name for that. Happy slap. Hallelujah. Some of you need happiness. Some of you need joy. Where's your joy? Where's your joy? Oh, Jesus. All right. I need to behave myself. Whew. Let me tell you something. I felt the anointing just a minute ago over here on this stage. And I don't know about you, but you saw I had to sit down. Something knee bending and knee weakening up here. I don't know what's back there, but I'm saying something is knee bending and knee weakening back here. Come on, Lord. Throw it out there. Throw it out there. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve this. Don't give up in your struggle. Don't give up in your struggle. Oh, struggle's everywhere. Struggle with life. Struggle with peace. The struggle that we all manage to go through in our life. I'm going to remind you, I was afraid I'd freak Miss Kathy out. And I've shared this with Lily before. Where's Lily? Lily's still here. And I've shared this, and it's one of my favorite things. And Heath was talking about the butterfly. This little boy goes, and he loves butterflies, but he sees a little furry crawly worm. You know what I'm talking about. What do you call those things? Caterpillars. Oh, they're an ugly little vermin. Oh, you know what? For all the people who are not truthful here, who look at a baby firstborn and say, you are a beautiful little thing. You need to repent. Come on! Oh, she's just a little beautiful thing. All red and wrinkly, eyes closed, covered with everything, laying there. Yeah, I know. But you see, it doesn't seem to be anything beautiful about that moment. But I remember what Jeremiah 1 says. I knew you before you were even born. While you were in your mother's womb, I knew your name. And I have called you to be a prophet to the nations. God says, I knew you before you existed. I knew you in the ugly stage. I knew you in the bad stage. I knew you in the good stage. I knew you. But I'm not choosing you because you're good, bad, or ugly. I'm just choosing you because of who you are. There's purpose in my struggle. There's purpose in the struggle. Knowing that there's purpose is the encouragement that we need to not give up in the struggle. So the little boy finds a little caterpillar, puts it in a jar, gets a little stick in there. I've done that, by the way. You ever done that, Olivia? You weren't kind of crawly critters, right? Being on the boat the other day, he was just going through the worms, the night crawlers. He's scared to death of a bug, but he was taking them big old he worms. That's what Kathy's dad used to call them. And he was just going through those things. But a caterpillar, he took it and he put it in the jar, put some grass, and he kept it. And he asked his mother about it. He asked his mother about the caterpillar. And she'd explained the best she could. Then a few days, he noticed something on that twig. Something began to change inside that jar. Can I tell you, things are beginning to change in your life. You may not even see the change, but God says change is on the way. Your change is coming. Shout out, my change is coming. God didn't birth you to stay where you are forever. And you're going through stuff. But you're going through stuff. That's what Sister Laura the other night, she said, I need prayer because I'm going through stuff. Well, guess what? To get where you need to go, you got to go through stuff. But I want to remind you that the best is ahead for you. You're not going to stay, in some definition, an ugly little worm. Even though Job called himself a worm, Isaiah called the nation of Israel, God called, they called, identified themselves as just a worm. Is everybody with me? Okay, we're gonna look in that text real quick. We're gonna tie this together. This is a powerful word. This is a word you should not remember, should not, yeah. Lord, you should not forget. Forgive me. Some of you might struggle with remembering. Write the vision down. But the little boy notice the change. And while I'm looking at this, looking in Genesis chapter 32. But I want to talk just a second about the boy. This is just a short little illustration of the story. He noticed a change. He noticed something begin to change. Something begin to change. So that caterpillar began to wrap itself into a cocoon. Oh, beginning to wrap itself up. Sometimes you feel like, Tina, that life has wrapped you up. Difficulty has wrapped you up. Problems have wrapped you up. Challenges have wrapped you up. Fear has wrapped you up. Discouragement has wrapped you up. Anxiety and fear and depression has wrapped you up. Physical problems in your body, difficulties in your family has wrapped you up. So he notes the change, and the mother tried to explain the best he could. And I hope I'm not chopping this up, Mrs. R. You're going to have to help me if I do. So he took it to a nearby professor at a college. Curious, the little boy was truly curious for him to seek that out. He said, "What's going on?" So the professor began to tell him. And he understood, and he kept the jar. But then something began to change in the cocoon. The little boy noticed that the cocoon began to move, began to stir. Something began to stir inside the cocoon. I want to tell you, the reason why you're here today is because something is stirring inside of you. You don't even know what it is. You think it's aggravation. You think it's disappointment. You think it's all about those difficult things. But God, no. He said it's about what's going to happen in your life. Church, you know, the Lord told Israel, he said, "I've chosen you not out of a pleasant place, not even out of a good place, but I've chosen you out of the furnace of affliction." God chooses, he chooses us and calls us from a place of affliction and hardship. So that once he does that work in us, we get no private glory for that. Where you end up, no one might not explain or understand. And maybe you don't fully, but when you come through it, when you get through that struggle, God gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. Because people look at your life and they say, "Only God could have done that." Does that make sense? Please stay with me. I'm not going to be lengthy, guys. I'm not going to be lengthy, I promise. Hang in here with me. This is important. So vitally important. So something began to stir in that cocoon. Change was evident. And the little boy was puzzled. And he thought, "This little caterpillar is having such a hard time. What can I do to help it? Have we not all been there before? Have we not all resented our struggles? Have we not all identified them and thought of a million ways I could get out of this struggle? But I'm here to tell you, what you're going through or what you're coming through is important for your development. Because God don't want to keep you where you are. He wants to take you to the next level. Do you get that? How many gets that? If you do, shout yes. I get it, Nathan. I've not always got it. As a pastor, almost 70 years of age, I thought, "Well, Lord, I've struggled a lot, and I still find myself struggling." But that's because something is always being birthed and born, reborn in me. Something's always developing in me. And when you get to the point in your life that something, there's nothing developing or going forward in your life, you're in a bad place. You need to get a hold of this, because God is still working on me. How many's glad he's working on you? Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and accomplish his good purpose. It's God that's working in you. He's working in the struggle. He's working it all out. And he's helping you to work it all out. So what the little boy does, sadly, without his mother's permission, Sister Helen, he gets a pair of scissors and he snips the cocoon. Melanie, he snips the cocoon and helps the little caterpillar out. And when that caterpillar come out, it was the ugliest looking sight ever was. Because most caterpillars who are developed into butterflies, when they come out, you can see the butterfly. But on this little creature, you only saw the likeness of the worm with very stunted wings. So it was grotesque. It was grotesque. The butterfly would never fly after that because the little boy tried to help it out of its struggle. God knows what you're going through. God knows how you're going through. God knows when you're going through. And listen, be thankful that he's not finished with you yet. If he's finished, then it's time for you to eject. It's time for you to go. But God has a greater purpose from your struggle. Does that make sense? So he went to the professor again, asked the professor what happened. All he had was a stunted little worm that looked like partial wings. And the professor began to tell him that the butterfly needed the struggle to become the butterfly. When it pushes through the cocoon, it develops the wings, and it pushes the equivalent of blood throughout the body of this little caterpillar, butterfly. It pushes it, and it's dispersed throughout all of its members. And when it comes out of that struggle, it shakes its wings as a young butterfly, and then it flies off. There's a lot of people wondering about that day. Oh, you're going to fly. God never meant you to stay in your struggle or stay in your cocoon. God's bringing you out. But don't cheat yourself or allow someone else to cheat you and try to get you out of the struggle you're going through prematurely. Because God is developing you. God is bringing you into a place where he's going to use you for the glory of God. Don't give up in my struggle. You say, you mean the choices that I'm making right now, they're not good choices? You mean God intended me to go through those choices? God didn't intend for you to make some of the stupid things that you choose to do, okay? He didn't make that for me. But God uses the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because underlyingly, God wants to use you. You think God is using me today because I'm some perfect person? Or uses Heath because he's some perfect person? Or uses this family or uses you all because of some a perfection? No, God doesn't use it. He uses us because of purpose. There's something greater than your struggle. Don't give up in your purpose. Don't give up in the struggle. And so I want to share this, and I want to end in this today. The struggle is important. Sometimes God breaks us down before he can build us up. Does that make sense? Sometimes God's got to break you down before he can build you up. A seed cannot bring forth until that seed dies. What's the process of dying for a seed? Being broke down. That outer shell has to be broken apart so the actual seed can come in contact with nutrients and vitamins and all those kinds of things. And Jesus said this, unless a corn of wheat die and fall to the ground, it cannot bring forth. The reason why you're struggling sometimes with stubborn nature, like rebellious attitudes and unbelief and things like this and all kinds of things that we struggle with, is because God is doing a greater thing in you. And he has to break that down. He has to break that down. Do you understand? Everybody shout out, I'm being broken down. You know, if I told you today, which direction does a tree grow first? And if I ask a kindergartner, they draw a tree, it would grow up. Tree grows up. Yeah, it grows up. That's what you see in the growth of the tree. But before a tree can grow up, it's got to grow down. Before God can get glory out of your life, you've got to go down. And that means you've got to humble your heart. You've got to break down from pride and arrogant spirits. And you've got to humble yourself. And you've got to say, God, build me up. The Lord says, James says this, humble yourself before the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You wonder why the Lord's not lifting you up enough? Maybe because you're not getting down enough. Come on, come on. Oh, it's getting quiet in areas in the room today. God needs your humility. And sometimes, like the change in the caterpillar, we got to break down. God breaks us down to build us up into something more beautiful than we were before. And to the believer, we develop something called very essential, but you hear of very seldom today. And it might be more familiar in the mountains today, but it's a word called grit. How many has ever heard of grit? I'm not talking about grits you have with your eggs and the southern restaurants, okay? I'm talking about grit down inside you. Everybody say, Lord, give me grit. It's courage and resolve. It's strength of character. God is developing you. He's bringing you into a place for a greater glory. So he's struggle helps develop grit in our life. The ability not to give up. Not to give up. People today just gonna give up. If a leaf falls the wrong way, they just ready to give up. If something happens they don't like, they just ready to give up. God didn't set you here in this race to give up. God set you here to win. Do you hear what I'm saying? A winner wins with grit. Determination. Because you know that winning is a part of the struggle. Grit, don't quit. That's a good one. Whoa. Do you hear that one, Lakin? Grit, don't quit. So let me finish on this in Genesis chapter 32, because I told you this is going to be real quick. You stay with me. The quicker you, better you stay with me, the better this will end, okay? The Holy Spirit can only do what we allow him to do, okay? In Genesis 32, we read the story about a man, and I'm not going to go in history of that because some of you know and heard of this man. You've heard of the man Jacob. How many has ever heard of Jacob in the Bible? God changed his name, but he changed his name after the struggle. He changed his name after the struggle. Struggle is created to change you. God wants to change things in you. He's transforming you. He's changing you into something that you're not yet. So Jacob, of course, he was born in a struggle. He was. He had a twin brother, Esau. And when they were both born, He was born grasping a hold of the heel of his brother. So they came out practically the same time almost. One was right behind the other. But he was born in a struggle. You're born in a struggle. We're born into a world that is full of struggle. We're living in times that are full of struggle. We're confronted constantly with struggles. How do I get through? How do I make it? How do I overcome? How do I get where I need to go? It's all about the struggle. You wake up on Monday mornings, and life sometimes is a struggle. And I ask people in the stores that I go into, and you know, one of the first things that people say when I ask them, how you doing? And they say, it's Monday. In other words, Monday they have set aside for a day to struggle. It's a day to struggle. I don't know what your day to struggle is. Maybe it's every day. I struggle with something. But God didn't mean you to stay there. So he was born in a struggle. And his name Jacob means deceiver. Wasn't nothing good about the interpretation of his name. I don't know why. They would call, oh wow, why people call their kids what they call, but Jacob was supplanter or deceiver. And so he was born in a struggle. Throughout their life, there was struggle in the family. There was dysfunction in the family. Parents loved one over the other. Isaac had a favorite son, and his wife had a favorite son. So there was struggle there. How many gets what I'm talking about? Struggle, struggle, struggle. Before people have hip surgery, they have struggle. Because if your joint wears out, you've got bone against bone. You've got struggle in your body. How many knows that you can have struggle in your body? Struggle in your body. Born into struggle. But this is, long story short, let's look at this. And so the Bible says that the Lord called Jacob. And Jacob deceived his brother Esau out of something that was probably at that time was equivalent to salvation in our day. It was called his birthright. It was what, by birth, what was allotted to him by birth. It was a promise. It was his dowry, his promise. What, in other words, God would have had handed down, but his father handed down the birthright to the firstborn. So, did I get that what right while ago? Okay. All right, everybody with me? How many is with me? I'm ready to close. Listen to what I'm talking about. So here we have Jacob. And because one day his brother came in from the field and he was so hungry that his brother would have done anything. He said, here, have some porridge, have some soup, some stew or whatever it is. And he said, yes, I'll do that. But he says, I can't do that until first you give me the birthright. You give me that birthright. Listen, do you know what the devil's trying to do in your life? He's trying to cheat you out of something bigger and better in your life. Is he doing it with a bowl of soup, a bowl of porridge like he did Esau? He could be doing it with something else, some lifestyle. But there's something that we're always struggling with to give up or hang on to, give up or hang on to. And so he deceived his brother. And there was a great problem because of that. They deceived the father. The story, long story short, and it was handed down to him because of deception from his mother and him, worked a scheme to get the blessing. And so he ran because Esau would have killed him. When he found that out, Esau wanted to kill him. And so Jacob spent a lot of his life running from his brother. Can I say to you today, Some of you have spent a lot of your life running from who God says you really are. Today is your day to stop running and embrace the purpose and call of God on your life. And so, in his running, the Lord speaks to Jacob, calls him to a place. And this is in verse 22, closing. And he arose in the night and took his two wives, his female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over a stream, Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. How many in here has ever felt alone before? Be real with me. I'm getting ready to close, okay? This is important that you be real. How many struggle with loneliness in your life? You can have a room full of people and be lonely. You can have more friends than you can shake a stick at, but you can be lonely. You can have more relationships than Carter's got liver pills, but you can still be lonely as you can be. But he was left alone. And a man there wrestled him until the breaking of the day. Now, this man was likened unto an angel, or some theologians say Jesus himself, personification of Christ. But the angel, the Lord, wrestled Jacob all night. Some of you here have been wrestling with stuff for a long time. You've been wrestling with addiction. You've been wrestling with problems in your family. You've been wrestling with bad relationships. You have been wrestling with in and out of church. You've been wrestling with things your whole life. You've been wrestling with your calling. There are some of you in this room today has a calling upon your life, but you've spent your life running, and what you're doing is wrestling with God. Quit wrestling with God. You'll never win. He's never lost a wrestling match. Hallelujah. Ric Flair. I don't know who your favorite wrestler is, but you can't wrestle with God and win. And so he wrestled with the angel, and he saw that he did not prevail against him. And he touched the socket of his hip. There's so much in here, and I don't have time to finish this. As he wrestled with him, and his hip went out of joint. Bad to have an out of hip joint, isn't it, Heath? Heath was telling us the other day, he's like a new man. He said, when I had that surgery, he said, it really changed things. Can I say something to you today? When you have some surgery here this morning, it's going to change some things in your life. Hallelujah. We ready? So his hip went out of joint, and he wrestled with him. As he wrestled with him, and he said, let me go, because it's breaking day. I got to go. The angel of the Lord said, let me go till the day breaks. This is what he said, though. Jacob returned. I won't let go until you bless me. I'm not gonna let go until you bless me. So many of us, we come to church and we want to touch an altar. Where are the days when people used to come and travail at an altar? Pray all night long with an altar. Oh, but I don't have time, Lord. Oh, you know me, I'm busy. I gotta work. I gotta do this. I gotta go do that. But you've got to understand, powerful things are born and birthed out of travail. Zion could not bring forth a child until she travail. A mother does not bring forth that baby until she travails. A butterfly can't be butterfly until that caterpillar travails and brings forth. Don't give up on your struggle. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? I'm ready. Here we go. And Jacob said, I ain't letting go. I'm not letting go of this. Boo, I'm not letting go of this. I'm not letting go of this call. You know how many times over the years the devil's tried to talk me out of what I'm doing? Boy, if I had a nickel for every time he's tried to talk me out of something greater, whoa, how good I would be financially. But I can't let go. Some of you here today, you've come here. Don't let go until God blesses you. Don't let go. Don't let go of hope until God blesses you. Don't let go of expectation for your family. Your family's dependent upon your faith and your grit and your prayer. Don't give up on them until God blesses you. Don't give up on your purpose until God brings fruition with it. Amen. Are you with me today? I feel like right here, as we're closing. And so what happened? I'm not letting go. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, my name's Jacob. Did you not think that he knew his name? Yes. In other words, I want you to know who you've been. It's important to know who you've been. You can't get to where you're going unless you first know where you've been. Some of you here been in some bad places, low places. But the kingdom is about taking you higher, another level. So I'm not going to let go until you bless me. What's your name? Jacob. Something's changing today, Jacob. God says, I'm changing something in you. You see Jacob, you see deceiver. You see supplanter, but what I'm seeing is a prince with God. Oh, Lord Jesus. I believe that already went to sleep on me, Holy Spirit. God's calling you a prince, a princess. Quit calling yourself an addict. Quit calling yourself depressed. Quit calling yourself sick. Quit calling yourself messed up. You're not. You're a prince with God. Start laying hold of your status and walk in it. Quit walking in what everybody else has labeled you. Well, you've been a quitter. So people have labeled you a quitter. Well, quit being a quitter. Quit being a giver-upper. Lay hold of your dream. Because God's getting ready to promote you. And that promotion has come out of a place of struggle. So everybody say, don't quit in your struggle. Don't give up in your struggle. He says, your name's not going to be called Jacob, but Israel. How many's ever heard the name Israel? Oh, Jesus, surely everybody here's heard of Israel, haven't they? God loves Israel, his chosen people, but he loves you. You're his spiritual Israel. He loves you. So we're ready to close. Listen to this. This is so important. Don't run out on me on the midnight hour, okay? I'm ready here. You're not going to be called Jacob anymore, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and you have overcome. Come on. Did you hear that? Are you hearing that? Bless his ears, Lord. Are you hearing that? Are you hearing that? How many here heard what the Lord just said? Holy Spirit is saying, you've struggled long enough with this. Are you ready to go on to the next level? Some of you have gotten so comfortable in your struggle, you're afraid to let your struggle go.
Amen.
Because your struggle is your playmate, your roommate. I didn't make this up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your struggle has become your roommate so long that you could never afford to give up on your roommate. Because I'll betray my struggle. Do you get what I'm saying? Is that too deep? Do you understand what I'm saying? That you've become so associated with it. But God says today, I'm changing you, Jacob. I'm changing you. God wants to change you. It's not going to take one little bump to the altar to change you. But it'll begin a powerful journey of you in you. Coming, God's bringing you out and through the things you've come through in order to go to the next level. I don't know about you, but I want to go higher. Do you want to go higher? So today, don't give up in your struggle. And I promise you, and I'm not making this up, I did not come with any intention. I didn't even really. If I were going to share it all, I was going to talk about a wedding. And this is a zillion miles from a wedding. So I promise you, the Holy Spirit. I don't know who needed this today. I needed it. I don't know. Maybe you've got to a spiritual place in your life that you're above. I don't need that anymore. Oh, Jesus. You're the first. You're the first that needs it. Hallelujah. Lord, I know you're birthing butterflies in this room today. You're birthing people who are going to take their flight and their purpose. People that you're going to use, that you've laid your hand upon. You've been with them in the cocoons of life. You've been with them in the struggles of life. And Lord, today, you're bringing them forth. I really believe that. This is your day. This is your day to come out. Turn to somebody. Listen, I don't want you to come out because your friend is coming out. It's going to put pressure on me. If you want to stay in your cocoon, that's fine. Go stay there. Be wrapped up in your misery. I don't know. They always say misery loves company. I don't like to be around miserable people. I would be honest with you. Yeah, you like miserable people? Well, I can send you a lot of them if you. The world's full of misery. How many knows that? But Jesus said, Amanda, in the world you're going to have misery. But in me, you'll have peace. I'm the Prince of Peace. Are you ready? Are you ready? Don't give up. Don't quit in your struggle. Let's get to our feet right now. I should have quit 15 minutes ago, but I couldn't. 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 Lord Jesus, thank you right now for what you're doing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I was telling Kathy this morning that I told her my old school tactics is just about out of date in a lot of ways. I only preach one way, and that's sort of wide open, okay? I mean, listen, I know sometimes me clapping my hands and me jumping up and down, me raising my voice, that intimidates little people, but that's the road God started me on. Listen, I'm not changing because you don't like it. I'm just saying maybe you need to get up so you can like it a little more. I'm old school. Woo! I love a shout every now and then. I love grandma to throw her bonnet off. Oh, they don't wear bonnets anymore. I love grandma. I love grandpa to flip his hat up. I love to see people lift their hands in church, clap their hands. I remember my mother doing that. Oh, thank the Lord today for people with grit, Lord. Strengthen people today in their struggle. Bring them out right now, Lord. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out right now, Lord. Lord, give them fortitude and gratitude, Lord. Be thankful for where they've come from. Be thankful that they're not there. And Lord, right now, challenge every believer in this room to go further, go higher, go to another level in their faith. To be like Jacob. I'm not stopping. I'm not quitting. Lord, whatever it takes, I'm gonna hang on. I'm not giving up till you bless me. Whoa. Woo! I'm not giving up until you bless me. I'm not giving up until you bless me. I'm not giving up until the tank's filled. My old goofy truck that's got a 100-gallon tank on it, I stay there longer than anybody at the gas station, looking around at everybody. Everybody sees me stand there just like, what are you doing there so long? I'm trying to get my tank filled. I'm not quitting until I get it filled. Are you quitting? Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now if you can and able. Lord, all over this room, I pray, give the grit not to quit. Strengthen in fortitude every heart. Strengthen our praise and our worship. Give us deeper worship, intimate worship, worship that's not us. Give us messages and words that are not us, that are Holy Ghost inspired. Lord, give us people who serve with grit, Lord, that won't give up until they're blessed. I'm not going to quit until I get blessed. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. God, thank you for people you're sending who are not quitters. So, Lord, right now, do a work in this room right now, from young to old. Do a work, Holy Spirit, right now. And I'd like to ask you a question right now personally. Have you been struggling lately? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Well, it's hard to see me with your eyes closed. So let me ask this question first. How many have been struggling lately? You see your pastor up here? You see your pastor up here? I've struggled. Oh, I don't care to call it out. But I ain't staying there. Okay? I've struggled in my mind, in my head. This is a different type of battle today. The precursor to Jesus coming is a different kind of warfare. So how many today will say this, Pastor R, I've been struggling lately. I've been struggling in my mind. I've been struggling with issues. I've been struggling with my finances. I've been struggling with my health. I've been struggling with my children. I've been struggling at the job. I've been struggling in life. I've just been struggling. I've been struggling with grief. I've been struggling with anger. I've been struggling. I've been struggling with pride. I've been struggling with apathy. I've been struggling. I've been struggling. But don't quit. I see a head popping out. Woo! Don't dare quit. clip it. Don't clip it. Don't clip it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. So how many today say, Pastor, I'm making a statement of faith today. I'm not going to give up in my struggle. Slip your hand up with me right now. I'm not going to give up no matter what I feel, no matter how I feel, no matter who's told me to give up, no matter what told me to give up. I'm not going 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 to give up. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. I'm not giving up. 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 I'm giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I don't care who told me to quit. I'm hanging on to this thing until I get blessed. I'm hanging on to Jesus. How many knows? You gotta hang on to Jesus. Don't give him up. Don't give him up. Don't give Jesus up for nothing. No one. I don't care how pretty, how smart, how talented, how brave. Don't give up Jesus for nothing. No chemical, no lifestyle, nothing. Don't you trade. Don't you trade. Come on, come on right now. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, I need you now. Come, Lord Jesus. Give me strength to not give up, to hang on. Hallelujah. Now give the Lord praise.